buttons. But seriously, we do appreciate certainly all of those who are following the Church of Christ group, Newark Church of Christ group on Facebook, and they've been really patient as we are developing, putting these on Facebook. There's a lot that we're learning and how to do this, and you know, of course, there's always a lot when you're pushing the certain buttons for microphones and things of that nature. So we certainly appreciate them and appreciate you all. We know that sometimes we don't get it right, but we are trying to get the word out as best that we know how. Facebook is somewhat new, and as it changes, it goes over my head, and I have to swim a little higher. Tonight, we want to talk about where is the fruit of the Spirit. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians, but tonight I want to preach to the choir. Does anybody understand what that statement means, preaching to the choir? Well, I'm going to preach to the choir. We don't need the camera because I'm going to preach to the choir a little bit tonight because I think the fruit of the Spirit is really, really important. Now, I'm going to try to hopefully keep up with all of this. I'm not used to this. So, yeah.
Is it on?
Is it?
Turn the mic on.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Do you think about the fruit of the Spirit? Because I know I really don't think about the fruit of the Spirit that much. It's something that we think about when people are quoting it from Galatians. But do you really think about it? I mean, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you think about it? And in fact, how often do you think of the Spirit? Unless what I just said, someone brings that up in Scripture. I was looking at those verses way over in Galatians. I was someplace else and I thought about it and I went over to Galatians and then I was realizing I never think about the fruit of the Spirit as much as I should. To me, they are the desired godly actions or trait that make up the body of Galatians, that passage from 5:22 to 5:23. And I wanted to say make up the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit because it seems to be a package deal. Because if we're godly, then we're showing the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's why I wanted to say that. And because it seems, I started thinking the fruit of the Spirit was just a bowl of different type of fruits that made up the whole. And that was a long time ago. And I had the whole sermon written up because I remember when I was a kid that my mom used to have a bowl of fruit always out on the table. And so, you know, for us to eat. And, you know, long story short, once we got a little older and we weren't in the house as much, she changed the fruit from fresh fruit to plastic fruit. Mm-hmm. And a plastic grape is fun to chew on, but you don't swallow it. So, but, you know, so that's where I originally went to when I thought of the fruit of the Spirit was that big bowl of, but it's not. And so, you know, I did just tell you the whole story about my mom and how eventually, you know, she got the fresh fruit. And then there was a question, you know, as we're working on ourselves through our walk with Christ, are we replacing our fresh fruit with fake fruit and still believing it's the same fruit? And that's, you know, that's a big question for Christians especially, because we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. And it's supposed to be like a natural thing to us. However, the fruit of the Spirit is a singular thing, and the question is, do you have it? Do you have it, or do you just assume you have it? Or do you have it when you're reading it to somebody else? Or do you have it when you're around someone that may be a little bit feistier than you, or a little bit, we'll say a little bit more argumentative than you are? See, so we can, well, you know, they're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, but do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You know, so that was one of the things that I do think about that once I get into that. In Galatians 5, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and that is followed by a list of, as I said, 9 or 10 items that make up one thing. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Remember, Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is. Leaving me with the impression that it alone is something. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? These are all questions. I'm not going to answer any of them. I want you to think about them. I want you to think about them. Hey, it's working. So what I did was I did a simple Google search, and I just stuck with Wikipedia. It wasn't any need to go too much further. It said the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a biblical term that sums up 9 attributes of a person or community living in accord with the Holy Spirit according to the Epistle to the Galatians. So the Holy Spirit, all of those things make up an attitude that we're supposed to have that shows that we're all together in Christ. And so that's what it is. It's your attitude. It's how you act. It's how you carry yourself. And you carry yourself as if you're what? You carry yourself as if you're a member of the body of Christ. So that's what Wikipedia said, and it confirmed that it's one thing, a single something consisting of several different parts. So that's the interesting part about it. It's a single something consisting of several different parts. My car, your car. I was talking to Brother Howard. He said he was having some car problems, said he just got it fixed, and then he had to take it back again. It's a single item full of different moving parts that one part missing, you got to take it to the shop. So when we're missing that one part, well, somebody should take us to the shop. You know where the shop is? Your shop is the Bible. And it can take you to the shop and read, let you read about some of the things that maybe you're not exhibiting. But that's how we do it. We got to get it fixed. And it's not hard to fix, but guess what? Parts break down within us all the time. If they break down in me probably more than anyone else. And that's a wonderful thing about me being up here, is that I'm willing to tell you, it breaks down to me more than anything else, because I can be as sarcastic as 6 people at once. If I get nervous, I get more sarcastic. But did you see sarcasm in the fruit of the Spirit when you read that verse? I wish it was in there. I'd feel better about myself, but it's not in there. And if it is in somebody's translation, bring it to me, and I'll use it next time. But it's not in there. Sarcasm is not in there. But the more nervous I get, the more sarcastic I get. And I get pretty nervous, so I get pretty sarcastic. And I think some of you know that, and I've been trying to hold myself back a little bit from just because you leave yourselves open. And it's just like you, I can just walk right in. But I need to stop that, because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes, what? That can hurt. And I have to think about that. Brother Carey, I'm sorry. I made that assumption, not an assumption, but I made a joke when I said you kept me from going over to Brother Russell's house. I apologize. He never once said I couldn't go over your house. What he was telling me was that you were tired. And that we had no need to go over there. And I shouldn't have said that, and I wanted to apologize to you for that, because I shouldn't have said it. Because it might have put a bad light on Brother Carey. We laughed about it, but I got home and it was like it wasn't right. You know, I know, but it wasn't quite right, because he never said that to me. He said, Brother Russell's not feeling quite well today. And I always want to, especially I'm over here, I want to come over and check on you. But I'm not going to bother you if you're not. But that's what he was telling me, and I wanted to apologize to you. I apologize, sir. It consists of, and most of the definitions were about the same. The fruit of the Spirit is a biblical term that sums up the 9 visible attributes of a true Christian life. So that's a little bit deeper definition. The 9 what? Visible attributes. So you imagine you got these 9 visible things that are about yourself that you should see. And that other people should see. Now, the reason why I said we can probably cut that off, because there are people who might watch this who won't know what the fruit of the Spirit is. There are people who can quote all of them, and I'm not one of them, but there are people who can quote all of them, and you just look at them and say, but do you have them all? Do you exhibit them all? When you get nervous, what do you fall back on? See, so I can't quote them all, and this is about the fruit of the Spirit, but it's about what? Where is the fruit of the Spirit? So we're looking for where it is. Is it in us, basically, is what I'm saying. Where is the fruit of the Spirit? So if those nine things that are characters of the life in Christ, of your life in Christ, and translated, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives rather than the forces of the flesh, the Spirit will produce the ninefold fruit that characterize all those who walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is pretty important. Fruit of the Spirit is a physical manifestation of a Christian's transformed life. And you got to go right there to transform, because everybody who does the hear, believe, repent, confess, and is baptized still has to transform. You get that rare occasion when somebody has so readied themselves that they seem to flow right into it, but most of us had to transform. It took me about 2 or 3 years to transform. But you have to transform. But when you transform, those nine things ought to be a part of your so-called luggage. So let's stop right there, and we're gonna talk about this for a little bit. Then we're gonna go to the next slide, and it says, for some of us, a long time ago, and this for me is about 15, maybe a little bit more years, and others of us, maybe not such a long time ago, I'm looking around the room, and I believe everybody in here has been in the body of Christ longer than me. I am still the babe in Christ. And that's with 15 years. So, we might have heard an invitation. I think Brother Carey says it almost every time he gives some type of indication that there's an invitation, and then we're going to stand up and sing a song that we chose for that invitation, and that whoever it was, whether they hear it later or whatever they do, they have an opportunity to stand up and accept that invitation. There was a part of that invitation that stated you had to what? Repent of your sins, and this repentance represented your willingness to stop doing things your own way and do things the way Christ would have you do them. In other words, it's often expressed as a change of heart that leads and a change of mind. You know, I don't know why we say a change of heart and a change of mind, because we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about a change of mind. But when we talk about a change of heart, most people use the heart as a condition. When they talk about consideration, they talk about kindness, they talk about being polite, they think it all comes from the heart. It comes from the mind. So right there, the transformation is explained. Transform, make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. So when we come into Christ, we should have a change. But the thing of it is, the change doesn't come automatically. The change, as I said, that's why we are looking at the word transform, because that has to happen. And it takes a little longer, and some of that, I always go back to the same person. I go back to Peter. Do y'all remember, and I think I've said it before, with Peter, Jesus had been executed or crucified. He had come back, had been seen by a lot of folks, and Peter was still, according to Christ, he was still not there. When he was sitting on the side of the beach telling them, do what? Feed my sheep. He had to, do you love me? And Peter, do you love me? Peter, you know, that's a beautiful case, because at some point Peter got it. But to me, he hadn't gotten it even up to that point. I go a fishing. By that time, he was supposed to have been the fisher of men. So that transformation takes a while. So, and it's also to undergo a transformation, and that's where Peter had to undergo that transformation. There were a couple of times we thought Peter was transformed, and then he did what? He said, I wasn't with that guy. With him where? And you know, and he realized he wasn't, and he wept bitterly. So we can't just say it's an automatic transformation. We were supposed to start transforming our lives into a life in Christ, and a part of that transformation is to adapt or adopt the fruit of the Spirit. brothers and sisters, I believe that the transformation I am to make has a lot to do with me, but I also feel deeply that it also has a lot to do with the word I was introduced to some time ago, and the word is aftercare. And the sister was speaking about that at a congregation that I was preaching at, and she said aftercare, and I said, well, what's aftercare? And basically, and I did an exhaustive search because I wanted to make discover the word or term aftercare was anywhere on the internet relating to aftercare in church. The term seemed to be more directly related, as she explained to me. The term that I found was more directly related to child care for the period between the end of the school day and the end of a parent's work day. But it is not, is that not kind of what it is? After all, what is a new convert but a babe in Christ? Much like the definition, a new convert needs our direct support, especially from baptism until they are ready for the battlefield. And that may be a little bit long, but they need our direct support all of that time. We lose more new converts thinking they're ready for the battlefield directly out of the water. And so we need to make sure that there's that aftercare. And I thought that was a wonderful thing. And I actually didn't find out what it means, but it's something that we certainly should get familiar with, even if we don't have that direct definition of it. If and when we start to get some folks in and we start to get some new converts, remember they're new converts. Now, some of them may know a little more about the Bible than the average new convert, but they're still new converts. And we need to be with them until they're ready for the battlefield. Even the ones that say, I'm ready to go, we need to tell them, well, just hang around us for a little bit longer. And they want to go out there and they want to challenge somebody. And they go out there, and I think that some of the old preachers used to say, they go out there trying to disciple somebody into Christ and end up getting discipled into Satan. And we need to make sure that we hold on to them and make sure that they know what they need to know before they can do what they think they need to do. I spent 11 years every Monday night from 7 till 9 in men's training to train to do what I'm doing right now. 11 years, I think that's almost 3-4 year college terms. It's one night at a time. But that's what we did. Every man in the congregation that wanted to be a part of the work came to men's training to learn what they needed to do. And that was 11 years. So we need to get familiar with that. So that's what made me think, you know, so where is the fruit of the Spirit? And like I said, I just want to preach to the choir tonight. So I want you to preach, and I'm part of the choir. If you get it, I am part of the choir. I'm just the one. I'm one of the members of the choir, and I came up to speak to the choir. Brother Carey is a member of the choir, but he comes up and speaks to the choir. A lot of times, when we speak to the choir, we're also speaking to anyone who may want to see, and a lot of those sermons are directly to them. And so we know we see you sometimes when we're talking directly to them and you're going, well, what is he talking? Well, I know this. Well, we know you know this, but we're speaking to them. But guess what? I know you know this too, but I'm speaking to the choir. Because we need to know where is the fruit of the Spirit. And not where it is in the Bible, but where in the world has the fruit of the Spirit gone? See, that might be an easy question to answer because we know the Holy Spirit does not dwell within the world. So naturally, we should not be so surprised when we see what we see all the time from the world. Or this day and time anyway. But some remember. They remember and they are shocked and distressed. They remember a time when the United States, this country, was way closer to God than it is right now. They say and they wonder what happened. In a way, much like God was speaking through Amos, and we're studying Amos, speaking through Amos, we have walked away from the Lord, And I doubt in my lifetime those times will ever come again. We were talking, and a lot of us, I think Brother Rex is about the youngest gentleman in the room. Everybody else is older. But remember back, you know, when you could leave your door open, you could leave your keys in the car, you could leave the Christmas presents in the car. I mean, Christmas is not a big deal. It's just a holiday we celebrate and buy people stuff. But we used to be able to leave those in the car. You go out at midnight and get them and bring them in. And you could walk. I could walk from Norview High School home, which is 3 miles, after the football game, after the high school dance, after all the playing around after the high school dance, I could still walk home at 12 o'clock at night and not be bothered or stopped. That was a long time ago. I doubt if anyone even tries that anymore. Because it's just somebody seems like they're going to stop you just to, you're either going to get stopped just to get stopped, or you're going to get picked on. So those times are gone. And you know, we want them back, but I don't know if we're ever going to get them back. Much like God speaking through Amos, a lot of have walked around or walked away from the Lord, and there was a time when attending worship service was just called going to church. Everyone attended. I mean, the whole family, they came. Maybe Dad didn't come, but Mom came and she brought everybody else. And guess what? Dad might not have come, but he made sure everybody else went. I never understood that, but you know what? You didn't question those dads. You didn't question those dads. But everybody attended. You could barely understand a word from the preacher, and most of the time he was spitting fire. And he wasn't always preaching fire and brimstone, but boy, it sure sounded like it. Sometimes he laughed. None of us knew why, but we laughed right with him. We knew it had to be something funny because he never laughed. But when the whole church would crack up, and if you weren't close to him, you never knew what he was thinking about when he told that joke. You never actually knew the joke. And so you look at yourself and say, I never knew Job was that funny. And so, but those were the times when everybody was there and everybody knew one another and you knew who was there. And you didn't always understand what he said, but he told you to open the Bible and you knew where he was. You just couldn't follow where he went. But those were times. And those were times. So again, where is the fruit of the Spirit? All right, I'm going to read. I'm going to go to Galatians. I'm going to be reading from the Berean Study Bible. As I was saying, it says it's a pretty good Bible. I want to switch over to the American Standard Bible, the New American Standard Bible, because of the some of the wording in the King James tends to cause me to trip over what I'm reading. Not that the words here won't cause me to trip over what I'm reading, because I really can't see. That's why I wear glasses. I'm going to start at verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await the Spirit, the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. All that matters is faith expressed through love. You were running so well. Who has obstructed you from obeying the truth? Paul was telling the Galatians that they were doing a good job at following Christ, and all of a sudden something happened. So he said, who did it? Who talked to you and caused you to stop running well? Remember, Paul always made the walk with Christ. He always equated it to running in a race. So he said, who stopped you from running so well? Who has obstructed you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from one who calls you. A little leaven, as we always talk, works through the whole batch of dough. And I don't know a lot about, I try to bake bread all the time. I don't know a lot about leaven, but I know I try to knead that bread, and it comes out halfway good. But I guess if you add leaven to it, it goes through the whole thing and it causes an issue. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is troubling you will bear the judgment, and whoever he may be. Now, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Paul was saying that if these Judaizers were who they say they were, and he's preaching circumcision, why are they after him? Because they wanted what? They wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised in order to be what they thought was be a part of Christianity. But he's saying that doesn't help you in Christ. So in a way, we have to always go back and understand what was going on at that time, even when we're talking about now. Obviously now, circumcision has nothing to do with the body of Christ. But back then, there were people who were saying, you still need to be circumcised to be a Christian. Because what? Because Jesus was Jewish. So, but he says, those who are troubling you will bear judgment, whoever he may be. And then he says, now, brothers, I am still preaching circumcision. Why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those who are agitating you, I wish they would proceed to emasculate themselves. For you, brothers, were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. Now he says what? He says, you were called to freedom. We just sang it. It wasn't planned. We sang, ring it out. That makes men free. Mm-hmm. Ring it out. It's the word of God that makes you free. The entire law is fulfilled in a single decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on, and listen to this, this is why we're asking, where is the fruit of the Spirit? If you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. Like I said, we do a lot of playfully kidding around, but we need to watch that. I need to watch it specifically, but we need to watch that because sometimes that can hurt, and we need to find a better way to play. I used to play with my little sister. I used to hit her. I mean, I couldn't hit none of my other. They were all like 8-9 years older than me, and they didn't. But she was 7 years younger than me. So when she wanted to play, I'd tag her. The mom was like, you don't need to hit her like that. And I was like, okay. But you understand, she was playing and I thought I was playing, but I was playing as if I should have been playing with one of my older brothers. And when he was playing with me and hit me, well, I would go to her crying too. Then she would go to him and say, why are you hitting him like that? So I told you, see where I got it from. But we need to watch that because we need to always, you know, you need to always look and see what's going on with a person before you decide that you want to be playful. Sometimes they may be going through some stuff, and it may be better for you to try to figure out, hey, are you okay? Don't let it be a trigger reaction. I'm convinced that when Christ truly becomes the center of my life, that I am set free to live, to serve, and to transform the world. Is that what we're trying to do? We're trying to transform the world. And it doesn't always seem like we can do it, but I believe we can. I believe we can. But we're trying to transform the world. And we can't transform the world if we're not transformed. It's hard sometimes. You get up there and you want to do what? You want to tell people about Christ and they don't want to hear it. And then all of a sudden you're talking like they're talking. Or they come up on you and I'm talking to Sister Chris and I sound like them. Well, they're not going to listen to me. Remember what I said earlier, a change of heart and a change of mind, willingness and wanting to seek and save the lost. A lot of our Bibles have a sort of subtitle chapters and all sections of chapters. And over chapter 5 of Galatians is about the freedom being in Christ gives us. And most translations say the same. The easy read, we have freedom now because Christ made us free. The international standard, the Messiah has set us free so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. The easy read, I'm sorry, the English standard, freedom for freedom, Christ has set us free. The American standard, for freedom did Christ set us free. Bible in basic English, Christ has truly made us free. The King James, stand fast therefore in the liberty within Christ has made us free. Liberty is freedom. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, what is bondage? Is sin. And the Bible we are using this morning, the Berean Study Bible this evening, the Berean Study Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now that's a lot of freedom. But no matter what version you're reading from, it seems that for the most part, Paul is attempting to show us the freedom we have in Christ. We are taking a look at what I call Paul's vision of the fruit of the Spirit, which seems to be in the context of true freedom. In this letter to the Galatians, he affirms that Jesus Christ has set us free. This freedom enables us to transcend the narrow limits of obligation and law, but there is a clear warning that we can reject the inner voice and promptings of the Spirit. Brother Rex was in class this morning, and he talked about, you know, the good angel and the bad angel, and they're both trying to tell you which way to go, and you need to decide which one to follow. Well, that's sort of a good illustration. But there are no angels on your shoulder. It's all in here. Now, and you can pretend there are angels on your shoulder, but it's all coming from right here. And 9 out of 10 times, you know what you want to do. You know that it's wrong. And you need to be talking yourself out of it. So put the angels on your shoulder so they can give you the odds and the cons and pros of both things, you know, that thing you want to do. Because 9 out of 10 times, it's something you already decide you want to do. And then that's what we're going to talk about a little bit right here. Have you ever just felt like doing something, especially something you know you have no business doing? What Paul is saying is that when that urge comes about in Christ, the Holy Spirit is probably telling you not to do it. But when I've given in, it is to the flesh, it's to that carnal me. And we know Paul is not talking about an equivalent to the physical body. It means the person who resists the impulse of the Holy Spirit. So where is the Holy Spirit? Much of the time, for a long time, I believe I tended to follow the desires of my sinful nature first. But as I was telling you earlier, I did what? I became sarcastic when I got nervous, or when I got crowded, or when, you know, people were pressing on me a little bit too hard. I would give you the answer that would best get you to leave me alone. It didn't mean I was giving you the right answer. I was giving you the one that would best give you leave me alone. And I was attempting to make a joke as to why I was saying it was because Paul listed the works of the flesh first. Kind of seems like it's true that because he listed those works first. And I may talk about joy and love and peace and kindness, but my action don't often reflect that. And what are the works of the flesh? Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians 5:19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. It's sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, rivalry, division, factions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Why do they come first? I believe the acts of the flesh come first because they're our first instinct. That's what we've been learning all our lives. Unless you grew up in the Church of Christ, where they were constantly telling you about the fruit of the Spirit, then you grew up with people saying what? Somebody hit you, hit them back. And they didn't always specify how hard to hit them or what to hit them with. But they said if somebody hit you, hit them back. Somebody say something to you, say it back. Unless they were adults. Oh. So we were always told to be just like the people who were attacking us. No one ever said anything about that cheek thing. And you say somebody hit you on one cheek, turn. No, 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 no. Somebody hits you on the cheek, you get a brick and chase them. It's our first, and it wasn't all the time, but some of them, yes. They're our go-to reactions, our actions, maybe even before meeting the Holy Spirit, before giving our hearts to Christ, and sometimes they're still our go-to even after. And that's why I ask, where is the fruit of the Spirit? I can speak to the choir on this. The body of Christ should always should be always trying to delete and prevent these things from entering into our lives. All of those things I just read, we should be trying to prevent them, and it's hard. And it's hard. The ones that are most that we find we run into most often, hatred. And it is, you know, and sometimes it gets to be a deep hatred. This time in this world, in this country today, hatred is more popular than love. Everybody, you can't say something to somebody without somebody telling us what? It's hate speech. I can't even give you my opinion that I don't like what you're doing without someone calling it hate speech. It used to be just my opinion. I don't hate anybody. I hate what you do sometimes. And guess what? You hate what I do. But it's not hate speech. Jealousy. Not as much as it used to be, but jealousy. Rage. Road rage. People getting mad because they get cut off. People getting mad because you're doing the speed limit. People getting mad because you're doing the speed limit on the street that says it's 25 and they're mad and upset because they're behind you and they want to go faster and they're jumping out and flying down the street. And then they get mad at the police officer for pulling them up. Why are you pulling me over? And then that's what's on social media. You got a camera and you're showing the police officer. He's telling you why he pulled you over. You tell me you had no business pulling me over. And rivalries, where we just, and we're not talking about Oklahoma and Texas. And no, that was not a good game. It was not I can't think of the word, but it wasn't the Red River rivalry. Not this Saturday. It was the Red River route. I'm sorry. I told y'all let me go in the wrong direction. We'd be talking about football. But they're not rivalry, but we're going up against one another. Not in here. That's not one accord. We as Christians cannot go around quoting that everyone should follow the Holy Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit when we ourselves are not willing to obey the words that would have us in obedience with the Word of God. And if I don't say anything else other than that, obedience with the Word of God. We should always be in obedience with the Word of God. And I kind of keep saying it, and I think I do. I say it a lot, that if we're in obedience with the Word of God, then we're showing the Holy Spirit, which means what? I don't have a problem with you. You don't have a problem with me. We don't have a problem with Brother Russell. Brother Russell doesn't have a problem with Brother Howard. Brother Howard doesn't have a problem with Sister Louise. I said, I'm only going to say that once. I'm going to call Sister Rutherford next time. With Sister Rutherford, and nobody in this room has a problem. And if nobody in this room has a problem with one another, what do we have? Unity. And what's, we're all in one accord. We're following the Bible. Verbatim, we're in one accord. But if I got a problem with Sister Linda, if I got a problem with Sister Linda and Sister Linda has a problem with Brother Kerry. And we have all these issues going around in the body of Christ, in the local congregation. How are we going to bring anybody anywhere? They're going to walk in here, they're going to sit down, they're going to listen to how we talk to one another, and they're going to say what? We don't need this. They're just like we are. We got to be nice to one another. And I don't mean we got to let people walk all over top of us. But guess what? You shouldn't want to. We should not want to walk over top of anybody. Remember that thing, the dove snake thing? Well, I don't like snakes, but the biggest of them, which is the reticulated python from South America and Florida now, because they're in Florida. Because people take them and buy them and they get big and they throw them out and they're in Florida now. So these things can get up to 18, 19 feet. And guess what they do? They hunt by stealth. In other words, they hide somewhere. When something comes along, they can jump out and grab it. They don't knock on your door. Although I did see a Facebook thing with one knocking on the door, but I don't know if that was really true. But they don't normally knock on your door, but they hide and they wait. And sometimes they can wait and wait and wait till something comes along and that's one of the biggest snakes in the world. So we need to be crafty, but we need to be harmless. Because what the fruit of the Spirit does, it calms us down and humbles us. That's why we need it. I look at Sister Sheila looking at me like, yeah. So when we ourselves are not obeying the words that have come to us in obedience to God, we have to put verse 19 through 21 aside, and people will see 22 and 23, which is what I just said. Folks, that's what every Sunday is all about, inviting people to come see in us what we keep telling them they should strive to have. And that's that relationship with God. That's that obedience to God. That's that being in Christ. That's that, you know, caring for your fellow man. And all of those things that we know can transform the world. Because people right now say they care about their fellow man, but we can't seem to see it. But we need to make people see it. In order to experience the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit, we need to be set free. Paul sets the context of all of this in chapter 5, in which he boldly proclaims that for freedom Christ has set us free. We have been set free from the bondage of the slavery to the eternal elemental spirits of this life. When we are set free from the works of the flesh, we can become energized and enlivened by God's Spirit. When that happens, we not only live by the Spirit, but are guided by the Spirit in our daily walk. And that's what we want. That's what I want. I want to be guided by the Spirit every day. I want my first inclination to be what the Spirit would have me do, the Holy Spirit would have me do, not what the person who's standing across from me would have me do. As far as verses 19 through 21, I think that's just to be, I'll repeat the end of verse 21 and the lesson is yours. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We were talking about it earlier. We were talking about how some people believe that they can do anything they want to after they're baptized and after they make that confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And guess what? Said that there are two verses, right one after the other, where Jesus says, nobody can pluck you from my hand. And he says, my Father is greater than I am, and nobody can pluck you from his hand. But he didn't say you couldn't get up and walk out. I think Brother Carey said that today, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can walk away anytime you want to walk away. And we need to remember that our actions sometimes say, Lord, we're walking away. We got a good example. We just be different from the world today, and we got a good start. We want to talk to people and see if they can get back into Christ. I know that some of them want to do it. I think some of them are scared. I think some of them have made mistakes that they've fallen out into the wrong influences. But the right people saying the right thing and quoting the right thing can get to their hearts. God can get to their hearts. God is God and he can get to their hearts. I think that's what Brother Rex was saying this morning. God is God. He can do anything he wants to do, and he's trying to get through that to their hearts. And he's enlisting all of us who say that we're members of the body of Christ to help him do it. So we need the fruit of the Spirit in order to do that. So I'm done, and it's not even the best part that I'm done. I can't make you become part of the body of Christ. Now I'm back talking to these folks out here because you're all part of the body. I'm out here talking to anyone who may see this. I can't make you become part of the body of Christ. I can't even make you stay if you decide being part of the body is not for you. You get to decide. But that's my challenge to those who may be listening who are not part of the body. Just think about it. Give Christ a chance to change your life. And guess what? You even get a gift. You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the best gift you're ever going to get. It's the best gift you're ever going to get. And it's because it's a helpful gift. And once you read about when Jesus said he's going to send that comforter, it'll tell you why it's a helpful gift. You get a gift to help you become a member of the body of Christ and keep you in Christ. That is a wonderful gift. And you get it becoming a member of the body of Christ. I'm going to turn you over to Brother Carey, and I certainly appreciate all of you being with us, and those of you who may be on Facebook, and God bless you all.
Careless souls, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation,
sacrifice that he made for us, and with the promises that he gave to us, knowing that they'll be fulfilled because of his resurrection from the dead. Father, as you partake of this, may we discern what we're doing and do it in a manner pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, we come before you, and we're thankful for this fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood of Jesus as he shed it upon the cross and gave it for us. It's what he called the blood of the new covenant. As we partake of this, may we do so in a manner pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
if anybody wants to contribute, Trey's going to be up here. As far as announcements go, there's just one addition to what we said this morning. We prayed several weeks ago. Tracy has a friend whose son Andre had an aneurysm, and he was being treated for that, but he's checked himself out. Then Friday he just left, and nobody knows where he is. So don't know what's going on. So let's just pray that that works out, and keep that in mind. And just remember, we just need to pray for each other. I have a feeling I'm going to lose my voice tomorrow, but anyway, I mean, stuff like that happens. We get busy doing things, and we get tired and exhausted sometimes, so we just need to take a breather. So anyway, I want to thank Avery for the lesson. It's something we all need to remind ourselves that, you know, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's a package deal. But everything about Christianity is a package deal. And so, I mean, that we just got to remind ourselves of that. Some people want to pick out, well, at least I prayed today, and that ought to be good enough. And some people just pick out one or two things, and well, I've done my duty to God. Just like the people, they show up, they come to church on Sunday morning, and the rest of the week, they're still thinking they've done their duty to God. And no, we're here to develop each other and to build each other up. And when people just choose not to do that, you wonder where their heart is. And sometimes it's frustrating because they don't show any interest in trying to learn more. Amen. I mean, we've made the effort to make sure we have material here that people can learn from. You see over here the stack? Every sermon I've ever preached here at Newark is up there. If you missed a Sunday night, it's up there. And they're all there. So, I mean, it's there for your learning. We have books over here that you can go through and you can learn things. And as Christians, we're supposed to be learning things. And sometimes we do that from our personal study. Sometimes we get that from the thoughts of others. But as long as we're focused on doing the works of the fruit of the Spirit and not dwelling on the works of the flesh, which is what the world is offering to us. So we're going to be good. All right. Brother Russell is going to direct us in our closing prayer.
Yeah, we all bow. Most kind and loving Father in heaven, we come unto thee once again this day. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll forgive of our sins and shortcomings if we've had them, and that you'll, we know that you'll forgive us as we repent of them. Also, Father in heaven, at this time we thank thee for Brother Avery and Brother Scott, that they present the lessons unto us, that they all come from your word. We appreciate both of them teaching us. Also, Heavenly Father, at this time we continue to pray for all those that are of our number that are sick and afflicted with some kind of illness, that it be your will that we can continue on serving thee in truth and in spirit. We ask at this time that you'll watch over those of our members that are in foreign lands, trying to protect our country and help others. Be with our government that they can recognize better the things that they do and say that they can bring this country once again back to a true Christian nation. Be with all those that are not with us, those that we know in other congregations. We pray for them also. We thank thee for your word, and most of all, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where's this from, Carrie?
Huh?
Oh,
yeah, that up here.
Because if you need
to,
we can drive home and then.
Can you empty that and then hand me the plate when you're done?
Yeah, I'm just getting out of your way.
Okay, well, you can do it. I've got to go safely.
Hey, how you doing?